honestly, I took it personal to trade, and that was my motivation. Every time we came back here and played, you know, you got to find ways to keep yourself motivated. And not just personal, you know, with the staff and all the stuff, just personal. That was my motivation. And, you know, we didn't have any conversation until yesterday.
Nate Kreckman burning down the house on a Tuesday edition of the program. Happy June 28th, everybody. Yeah, Andre Miller saying a lot of the right things on June 28th. I've got to wonder, though, how long is this all going to work out? Andrew Feinstein is my guy from DenverStiffs.com. Outstanding blog. You need to be reading this, Nuggets fans. Andrew and the guy do a great, great job over there at DenverStiffs.com. And I learned this from Andrew Feinstein today on DenverStiffs.com. Apparently, Andrew Feinstein has less of a life than I do because he was watching old NBA drafts on NBA TV through the course of the last month. What was the most entertaining moment that you found in these old NBA drafts, Feinstein?
The best thing was having the girlfriend walk in on me while I was watching retro NBA draft. You'd think I was watching pornography with the look on her face.
Well, you did have your pants off, so that was probably right. Kind of awkward.
Better off watching pornography. She said, you're watching what?
What was the most off analysis that you saw in there? Like some guy they were throwing instant analysis on that just could not have been further from the truth.
Well, my favorite, and it's always easy to look in hindsight and say, how could those guys say that? But 1989, the Mavericks had, I think, the 9th overall pick, and they were in desperate need of a power forward, so they drafted Randy White from Louisiana Tech.
Sure.
And because he went to Louisiana Tech, they were already labeling him as the next Karl Malone.
Obviously.
And Randy White was an absolute – he may have been the worst 9th overall pick of all time.
And that's saying something. Yeah. Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com. Andrew, let's get back to the draft here in a second. But yesterday, Chris Thomason wrote up on your site this piece about Adrian Dantley and the confusing seating rotation that the Nuggets have going on. And apparently, AD was pretty happy sitting behind the bench. Didn't think he had to rotate to the front of the bench. And now he's saying that he got fired because he wouldn't rotate in his seats. What are you hearing? What the F is going on here?
None of that is true.
Okay.
I think that I'm just reading between the lines, but I think that Adrian Dantley, and I wrote this on in my addendum to Thomason's column, and it was very nice for him to write that for us, as he's one of the best in the business, as you know. Adrian Dantley was never really a George Karl hire. George Karl inherited Adrian Dantley. Adrian was a friend of Kiki Vandeweghe's, and was hired to be an assistant coach with Jeff Buzdelic. And, you know, that's a pretty cush job when you're a former, you know, player, a Hall of Famer, and you get to sit on the bench. I don't know how much money Adrian Dantley made, but from what I understand, it was among the higher amounts of all assistant coaches in the NBA. So George inherited Adrian. Adrian had a multi-year contract. And I think his contract actually was up a year ago. But when he did step in for George Karl for being sick, and he did give the best effort that he was capable of giving, the Nuggets couldn't have let him go last year. So I think he basically had another year. And, you know, in this era of financial austerity among NBA teams, expensive assistant coaches aren't long for this world, unfortunately. And I think you look at guys like John Welch and Chad Iskey and Jamal Mosley, who used to be here on the Nuggets bench, and, you know, they're probably less expensive, and they're probably a little hungrier, too. And it's sad that, you know, things go down that way, but I do think this is much to do about nothing, and I don't think it had anything to do with seating arrangements.
No, I totally agree. And what I kind of took out of this whole story is it just kind of sounds like AD wasn't on board with everything the Denver Nuggets were doing, to use a cheesy corporate term. He wasn't being a team player.
Right.
And he looks at it as, well, you didn't rotate in the seats, so that means that you're a jerk and you're not a team player. I think he looks at it as just that specific action, and that was why he made those comments to Chris Thomason, versus the reality of it, which just was, look, he wasn't playing along. He wasn't doing what everybody was supposed to be doing. So I, more than anything, I found the situation very, very humorous.
Well, it has to be said. I hate to kick anybody on their way out the door. I mean, Adrian Dantley was a loyal assistant coach here for a long time. He bought into what they were doing. But let's be candid. He was the head coach when George Karl was stricken with cancer, and they got to play a Utah Jazz team in the first round that was not only injury depleted, but the Nuggets had home court advantage. And this was his golden opportunity to show to not just to the Nuggets, but to the whole NBA that he's capable of being a head coach in this league. And for the Nuggets to lose that series, to me, was embarrassing on a lot of levels. Not only the fact that the Jazz were so banged up, but the Nuggets should have had a little bit of fire in their belly. I mean, here's their coach, and I was with George Karl when he was on his couch, and his neck and face were just fried from that intensive therapy. And here's their coach who would do anything to get on that court, even if it meant he couldn't speak to his players because his throat was so sore. And they couldn't, from the coach on down, Adrian Dantley on down to those players, they couldn't, for whatever reason, muster up the effort to beat an injury-depleted Jazz team. That was really embarrassing.
Yeah, it was absolutely pathetic. I totally agree with you. And, yeah, it was a bad Utah Jazz team. And Deron Williams, God, how much money did that guy make off of that whole series? Because all of a sudden, he went from being the fourth or fifth best point guard in the league to everybody saying, oh, look at Deron Williams. This guy is the best point guard in all of the NBA now. And the Nuggets made him look very, very good in that series. And AD definitely deserves to have a finger pointed in his direction for the job that he did in that series. It's our guy, Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com, joining me on the Infinity of Denver Hotline as we talk about the NBA draft and the new acquisitions for the Nuggets. Andrew, you heard the Andre Miller comments, and Andre Miller's saying a lot of the right things, but again, we in the media and fans, we certainly tend to read between the lines an awful lot with a lot of these things that get said. And when Andre Miller says that he wants there to be an open competition for the starting job at point guard, well, I kind of giggle and say to myself, well, you're not going to beat out Ty Lawson. Sorry, 35-year-old Andre Miller. You're not going to be able to do that at this point. The Nuggets traded one headache for another. They got rid of Felton and they bring in Miller. What do you think, Andrew? Could Andre Miller turn into another headache for the Nuggets?
Well, Nate, it's kind of funny hearing these quotes today because you and I were together on Thursday at the press conference, and Masai Ujiri, after the trade went down, assured all of us in that room that Andre was on board with being a backup.
Yeah.
There was no conversation about being a starter. And to hear this today, but the funny thing is I kind of agree with Andre Miller. First of all, I love Ty Lawson. I love Ty Lawson. I think that if Ty Lawson is your backup point guard, you can win a championship in this league. I don't think you can win a championship if Ty Lawson is your starting point guard.
You're going to say that 2 years into the kid's career, you're already going there?
I'm probably not going to make a lot of friends saying that, but size does still matter. And I think that if you look at what the Mavericks did with Jason Kidd and Barea, they had this really dynamic kind of old wise veteran slash young small pest combination, and I think the Nuggets should look to replicate that. And it doesn't really matter to me who starts. I think you're going to see the two of them playing a lot of games together like Dallas did, and I think that's a model we should look at.
No, and I think, honestly, I think once the season gets rolling, I think Andre Miller is going to be used in that two-point guard backcourt an awful lot. It was used to quite a bit of success in the regular season for the Nuggets between Ty Lawson and Felton being out there, and I think that's the role that George Karl envisions for it. But, I mean, right now you're looking at a guy scoring 15.6 points a game in the postseason. Yeah, his assist numbers were down. Yeah, he's still got some growing up to do. I'm surprised, though, to hear you're down on Ty Lawson as the number one point guard.
I'm not necessarily down on him. I don't know if you win a championship if he's your starting point guard. Like I said, I know I'm not going to make a lot of friends saying that. I just question it. I think that, if you look at these point guards out there, they tend to be a little taller. They have a little more consistent jump shot. They can get their own shot off. But I like Ty Lawson, and I love Ty Lawson. I would question if you can win it all when he's your starter. But I think the Miller move was a good move to get. I think Felton would have been a much bigger headache than Miller is going to be. And you have to take everything Miller says with a big grain of salt. He's a little bit of an odd duck. He and Nate McMillan did not get along very well in Portland. They got off to a disastrous start in Portland, if you remember. Nate was furious with Andre's inability to condition in the offseason, something Andre just doesn't do. But, Andre was their savior. I mean, when Brandon Roy went down and they needed to win some ball games, Andre was the guy. So I'm excited to have him back here, and I hope that they can make good music together, so to speak.
Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com, joining Nate Kreckman, Denver Sports Station 102.3 The Ticket. Andrew appearing on the Infinity of Denver Hotline. 22, Kenneth Faried. 26, Jordan Hamilton. 56 or 7, Chuchu Madubon. Give me your grade on this draft, Andrew. How do you think the Nuggets did the other night?
Well, I gave them an A-minus. And the
only wow.
Should I give them an A? Is that what the wow is for?
No. I gave them a solid B the next day when I discussed it on the show and when I was giving out the grade. Giving out grades on a draft the day after a draft or even the week after a draft is usually just an exercise in futility. But nonetheless, I looked at it and I said, you know what? Faried was as good as they were going to do. I don't really know what Hamilton's got, but you know, 22 and 26, they probably did about as well as they could. Solid B, in my opinion.
Well, the reason I'm giving them an A-minus is because they were able to pick up two guys that they wanted anyway, and that two guys that they were concerned were not even going to be there at 22. So does that mean we were duped somehow because there's something wrong with these guys? And I guess the things would be, is Faried not tall enough, and is Hamilton have some attitude problems? But the fact that they were able to pick up the two guys they really wanted late in the draft, you got to give them – you know, you get into A territory for that, Kreckman. And then to get Andre Miller on top of that for a Ray Felton, who would have been disgruntled here all next season, I thought that was a great move. The only reason I'm not giving them an A is because I think Hamilton comes with lots of questions. Additionally, I question how Hamilton fits in here with all of these swing players we have. I see how Faried fits in. But the Nuggets do have another problem, and that is they may need another guard, and they did not address that in the draft.
Yeah, I think Hamilton's more of the project, and Faried is the guy that hopefully can step in immediately. Andrew, last thing before I get you out, Kisla's column today that the Nuggets need to get a deal done with Nene this week. Did you agree with that point? You think Nene may get so disgruntled he might actually look elsewhere?
Well, Nene's got an interesting dilemma himself. I mean, it's going to be pretty tough to walk away from the dollars that are owed to him should he just not opt out. And I think the Nuggets actually made a mistake on this one. When they offered Carmelo that contract extension last summer, I always thought they should have done the same thing with Nene. And I never really understood the downside to it because symbolically it showed Nene that, hey, we want you here. And were Carmelo to have left and we'd gotten nothing in return, which, by the way, was a plausible scenario for a long time, then so what? So you've got Nene, who's a very tradable asset. I mean, he's a legitimately solid center forward in this league, and I thought the Nuggets made a mistake there. So now they have 2 or 3 days to right that mistake, as Kisla wrote about this morning. This one's really interesting. I can't call this one. I'd say it's a 50-50 shot, but Nene's not – I'm very concerned about Nene's conditioning in a lockout situation without Steve Hess barking in his ear every day.
And he's already said he's not going to play for his national team.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about Nene's conditioning.
No, I actually share those sentiments with you exactly. And when I read that the other day, that he turned down playing for Brazil and said for contractual reasons, again, I don't know necessarily what's going on in the head and in his head, and Nene's not returning my calls right now, but let's just put it this way. That raised my eyebrows a little bit when I saw that. Andrew Fine, DenverStiffs.com. Read his stuff. DenverStiffs.com does a great job with that blog online. Follow him on Twitter at DenverStiffs. Feinstein, always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, Kreckman, you take care.
All right, there he goes. Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com, joining me on the Infinity of Denver Hotline.